Rush to Reason, third hour upon us. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, John Zemerick joining us now as he does on Tuesday evenings. John, welcome. How are you today, sir?
I'm good, thanks. How you doing?
We're doing very well, actually, very well. So what's new at the stream?
Well, I've got a new piece about, I don't know if you know, Pope Francis issued a 47,000-word encyclical on the eve of the election. Just as 4 years ago, he came to visit the U.S. on the eve of the election, and on a whirlwind tour of the country where George Soros money was funneled in through left-wing Catholic groups Pope Francis is aligned with, they tried to spin that as a campaign tour for the Democrats. Well, this new document by Pope Francis, Fratelli Tutti, which means all brothers, it might as well be a campaign commercial for the Biden-Harris ticket.
So, I'm not a Catholic, but let me ask you, as a Catholic yourself, when are you guys going to put an end to all that nonsense?
Well, we don't really have the authority to remove a pope. It's kind of like he serves at God's good pleasure, and I just remind people, God controls the meteorites, and he can send one when he really thinks it's necessary.
John, if I may, for us outsiders who are not Catholics, because John and I are evangelicals, for us to be looking inward, we have simply never seen a pope who is so disliked and untrusted
by Catholics.
So many Catholics.
Right. Well said.
We've never seen anything like this. For us, this is just crazy to watch.
This pope, I can go back and read what Martin Luther said about the papacy, and it doesn't fit the pope of the time, but it fits this one. This pope literally takes $2 billion a year from the communist Chinese government, literally. That was revealed in Breitbart. This was part of a deal that was arranged by Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, who was literally a pedophile, molested a child he had baptized as a baby. Pope Francis supports George Soros. He is friendly with pro-abortion activists. He pretends that open borders are taught by the Catholic Church, which they weren't for 2,000 years. He pretends that the death penalty is equal to abortion, when in fact God demands the death penalty in the covenant of Noah, and the Catholic Church, along with the evangelical churches and Protestant churches and Orthodox churches, supported the death penalty for 2,000 years.
Hey, John, really quick here. I mean, the death penalty involves somebody who has done wrong, chosen to do wrong, and
that's
abortion
right.
involves someone, erases somebody who has committed no sin. Right. How can he equate those? I mean, I'm sorry, but how do you equate that?
Well, what he does is he quotes himself. The only source he cites in this encyclical is his own previous writing. His favorite argument is, as I have previously stated, 60% of the footnotes in this document are to himself. It is a huge house of cards, an egomaniacal, crazy Tower of Babel that Pope Francis has built on quotes from Mahatma Gandhi and the United Nations and Desmond Tutu and various Muslim leaders.
So I got to ask another dumb question. How long do you guys as Catholics, I realize what you said earlier, that you're not in charge of who the Pope is, but how long do you guys stay Catholics knowing all of this is going on? And when do you turn away from that and go do your own thing?
Well, just personally, what it would take for me to leave the Catholic Church and then move to the Orthodox Church, which is the logical next step.
Right.
If you don't, if the papacy discredits itself, it doesn't mean Calvin and Luther were right. It means that the Orthodox were right, because the Orthodox basically believe virtually everything the Catholics do, minus the papacy. Wait, sorry, my dog. Not quiet, dogs. My beagles are trying to rebel. It would take.
Yeah, they're hearing me, John. They're hearing me. That's
John,
a sign.
Yeah, John. Let's be honest. I just want to know. Are these Catholic beagles?
No, I'm beginning
and are they making a statement here?
I think beginning to think that they're Protestant dogs. We don't burn Protestants at the stake anymore, so the beagles are fine.
That's
by the way, we appreciate that. Thank you.
That's great.
It's very big of us, you know.
No, so back to my question, serious question. How long do you guys wait?
So here's what would have to happen. The Pope would have to invoke his full authority and claim that he's speaking infallibly, which this pope has not done. In fact, only two or three popes in history
ex cathedra
have ever done.
right?
Yeah. If he were to do that, that's the equivalent. All right, when a pope just shoots off his mouth or issues an encyclical, it's like Justice Scalia talking on the golf course or asking questions in court.
Gotcha.
But an ex cathedra statement is like a Supreme Court majority opinion. It actually binds the interpretation of the Constitution, okay? If this pope were to do that and invoke his full authority to teach any of this nonsense, well, it would be like Roe v. Wade. It would discredit the institution itself.
And you would then become an Orthodox.
Yeah, that's right.
And by the way, I think some of the things that Justice Scalia would have said on the golf course after some of his shots wouldn't be admissible in any church.
That's right.
Probably true.
I wish Scalia were pope now instead of this second-rate South American former chemistry teacher with an IQ of 105, if that. So please read my piece at stream.org.
We'll do it.
Great
conversation, by the way. And you're helping us out a lot, John. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I do appreciate it.
Okay, well, at stream.org, I offer a fun way to deal with this encyclical. I have a link to the great Spanish ventriloquist, Señor Wences. And it's a YouTube video, and it shows you the way he talked. And I think if you have to read this encyclical, you should read it out loud in the voice of Señor Wences. It will make it much more bearable.
Good stuff. John, thanks. Talk to you next
week. Thank
you.
Good
stuff, as always. I appreciate it. Good stuff. Barber's Foods is next, folks. And literally the best meat you'll ever eat. And I mean that, folks. It is the best meat you'll ever eat. Right now, there's a great deal on it, by the way. You get two pounds of free ground Wagyu. Some of you want to know what Wagyu is. It's tasty beef. So I'm going to say it that way. It's the tastiest beef you'll ever eat. You'll get that at checkout. Just put beef in as your checkout code. Beef, B-E-E-F. It's really, really simple. You get those 2 free pounds. And by the way, everything they've got, doesn't matter whether it's Wagyu, pork, they got some of the best bacon you'll ever eat, chicken, you name it, they've got it all. Barbersfoods.com.
Barber's Foods has been feeding Colorado families the highest quality proteins since 1949, sourced from farm, ranch, and fishing families that they know personally. In September and October, Barber's Foods is proud to offer your family wild-caught Alaskan sockeye fillets, caught by their own fishermen who personally catch the salmon in the Bristol Bay of Alaska in a boat that they own and operate. Go to barbersfoods.com to pre-order your Alaskan salmon fillets. And while you're there, check out the Morgan Ranch Wagyu, Colorado-sourced USDA choice beef and bison, Beeler's non-GMO gestation, crate-free Duroc pork, and Pittman Farms family air-chilled chicken products. Stock up now and save 5% off your entire order with the code SAVE5. You care where your food comes from. So buy your proteins from Barber's Foods, 100% Colorado native owned. Barbersfoods.com.
Flesh and Beck, if you're involved in an accident and nothing is going the way it should, your medical bills aren't getting taken care of, car's not getting fixed, or it's not getting fixed the way you want it to be fixed, give Kevin a call today, 303-806-8886. Again, 303-806-8886.
You're stuck in a difficult situation. You don't know whether or not you even need an attorney. Have a conversation with Kevin Flesh.
You know, I have some really hard conversations and conversations that I don't expect some days relating to factually what happened in a case or what's going on in the person's life. And I've been doing this long enough. I've been doing it, you know, since 1996, so almost 25 years. And the faces change, but a lot of times the fact patterns don't. And when you get into these situations where you know where this fact pattern is going to be going, but you don't know necessarily if you're going to really add a whole lot of value, that's sometimes why we have these free consultations, so I can give some advice. I can suggest what they need to do to help themselves. But at the end of the day, it may be me stepping out and saying, I'm not comfortable traipsing you through court appearances. And it's one of those things where they're going to be able to get through it on their own and figure it out and not be lighter in the wallet.
Call now for a free consultation with personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh, 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
Gino's Auto Service, that's Gino's with a J. And folks, we're heading into winter. All of the CDOT signs around the the digital reader boards talk about getting your vehicle ready for winter. That's just a constant reminder that winter, well, that comes with winter too, but that winter is just around the corner. Get your vehicle in, get it ready to go. Geno's can do that for you, 303 794-6700.
For over 37 years, Geno's has been your go-to auto service shop in Littleton for all of your car repair and maintenance needs. This month, take advantage of Geno's engine and cabin air filter special and receive a NAPA $20 gift card. Do you want to breathe better air in your vehicle? Your cabin air filter helps to remove pollen, dust, smoke, and pollutants from the air inside your car. It's recommended to change your cabin air filter once a year in Colorado. Your engine air filter prevents dust, dirt, and contaminants from your engine. With any service, we'll do a free battery check to get you safely back on the road. Geno's continues to service Larry's Automotive customers, honoring warranty work you may have had done. Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off for service and pick up when ready. Geno's is a Colorado Select member and conveniently located at Bowles and Platte Canyon. Check out Geno's Google reviews or call us with any questions. Visit Geno's online at genosautoservice.com.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive, this is John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Okay, John, before we move on to another topic, I want to take one more look at the Pope, okay? Because I understand when Catholics say that he is only supposed to be infallible when he speaks ex cathedra, and that means with the full authority of office, okay? That's what it means. I get that. And so they say, then it is infallible, then we have to follow it. Otherwise, he can just be somebody talking about, you know, on a bus about his job or whatever. I get that. But listen to this. Matthew 17, 15 through 20. You know this passage. Beware of false prophets who will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Okay, look at the fruits overall of this pope. I'm not attacking the papacy or popes in general. I'm talking about this pope.
Right.
Look at the fruits of that tree overall. Everything he supports that we know of, virtually everything is wicked. And even the good things that he, you know, would support, like pro-life, he downplays, he diminishes, and then he supports, rabidly supports people who are against those things.
Well, he has to. It's a money game for him.
Well, there you go. Money game. Okay, so it's a money game. He supports terrible people. Even the good things he supports, he abandons the second one of these people supports. Is that a good or a bad tree, John?
Bad tree.
Okay. Does good fruit come from a bad tree?
No.
So what about this tree speaking ex cathedra? Would you I know we as evangelicals wouldn't trust it, but do you think that maybe that's a reason that a lot of conservative Catholics are really upset and concerned right now?
And I don't know why they're still there, but that's just my opinion.
I don't know.
I don't either.
Or maybe they should stay there and throw him out. There's got to be a way.
Another topic, another day.
Another topic, another day. Okay,
Joe Biden town hall.
Moving
I watched
on.
It last night.
Okay, let's see.
I took one for the team because I know you didn't, and I know Charlie didn't. So I took one for the team.
Yeah, I watched some bad movies.
Well, that would have been better than this.
Okay.
So I watched the Joe Biden town hall, and I will tell you that I will bet my life that Joe Biden last week in the debate had a wire because he definitely didn't have one last night. Because he could hardly get a sentence out. The moderator last night, I can't remember his name. Charlie can look it up for me. But the moderator last night continued to wrangle Joe back into, well, Joe, I don't think you really answered the question that this person asked. Because Joe gets off on these rabbits. I mean, rabbit goes, I mean, you think we're bad, a squirrel runs by, and Joe's off on a squirrel chase, big time.
Trump does that too, but he answers first.
Yeah, no.
Then he goes off.
Joe never got on, never got an answer. And here in Joe's math, I don't know what Joe's IQ or what his math ability is. Oh, that's right. Lester Holt was it last night.
A fanboy.
Yeah, a huge fanboy. But right. Joe's, and by the way, Lester never corrected Joe on any of his math because Joe said that right now we have 1,000 a day getting COVID, not dying, but getting COVID. 50,000 a week, which, by the way, 1,000 a day doesn't equal 50,000 a week. because 1,000 a day would be 7,000 a week, correct?
Well, that's just with compound interest.
Oh, gotcha. Compound COVID interest.
Exactly.
So he says 1,000 a day and 50,000 a week. And he keeps saying that if we don't wear masks and we don't do the things that we're supposed to do, and he was criticizing Donald Trump last night, that we'll have another 200,000 dead by the end of the year. Now, keep in mind, I go back to his other, you know, 1,000 a day contracting the virus. His 50,000 a week is even way off, but his 1,000 a day contracting the virus, not dying of the virus, but contracting the virus, where does the 200,000 come into play for people dying by the end of the year?
It doesn't. He's a lunatic.
None of, I mean, in Lester last night, I know he's a fanboy, but nobody last night corrected Joe in any of his math because none of it made sense. None of it.
Let me ask you this. For the debate, do you think he was wired? I mean, do you think he was wearing a wire?
Yes.
Or that he was wired, or both, if you know what I mean?
I think he practiced extremely well prior to that, which evidently he didn't yesterday, and he was wired. He had questions being, you know,
I was even asking about the dilated eyes.
Oh, the eyes were so
they
bad
were freaky.
As well.
It was like, dude, I know you like to wear sunglasses, but oh wait,
so bad. And last night, they didn't look the same last night. They were still different from the debate than they were last night. I watched it last night. It was painful to watch. I didn't get all the way through it at the town hall last night. I got as far as I possibly could. And, you know, somebody asked him. There was a stewardess, I shouldn't call him. They were, you know, flight attendant, what I should call him. The correct verbiage here.
Yes.
So flight attendant was there. One of the quote-unquote undecided voters, which I don't really know how undecided these voters actually are that were actually there. But anyways, undecided voter. He asked, how's he going to fix the airline industry, get it back on track? Joe's answer was, wear a mask, and that'll fix the airline industry. And I'm like, I wanted to yell through the TV, Joe, they already are.
Yeah.
And it hasn't fixed it yet.
No.
So, Joe, wearing a mask, which we've talked about a lot on our show.
Sure.
Wearing a mask isn't going to fix anything. Dell's got a comment for us. Dell, you're up. What's going on, sir?
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, sir.
The thing that irritates me with this corona is we keep hearing all these stats of how many people are getting it and how many have died and everything else, but I don't remember hearing anything as to how many have been cured and how they're doing.
I had some numbers on that, actually, last night. I need to look that up. You can actually, there are numbers that talk about who's recovered.
Well, John, if I may, this is one reason why I want Trump to be able to bring front and center what it's like to be a cured person who no longer has to worry about the disease.
So total cases in the U.S., this is U.S., not worldwide, but U.S., is 7.52 million, 210,000 deaths. Recovered worldwide, it doesn't show where we're at for the U.S., by the way, Dell. We don't have those numbers. But worldwide, 35 million cases, 24, of course, million recovered, and there's been a million deaths worldwide. Now, keep in mind, I believe that number is highly inflated. It's probably half of that worldwide. We have a population of it's over 7 billion people in the world today, and we've lost, in my opinion, about 500,000 total. This is a lot to do about nothing.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and these people are so... I got in a friend of mine yesterday that he's a Trump hater, but we got talking. He says, well, what can you say Trump has done, you know, to help the country? I mean, where do you want to start?
Right. Yeah. What list do you want me? Well, yeah. How long of a list do you want, sir? That's what I would say.
Yeah. Well, then he mentioned about how great Obama was, and I said, Obama, I said, he didn't do anything. I said, well, yeah, in a sense, you're right. But I said, what about Fast and Furious? What's that? I never heard anything about it.
Unbelievable. You know, what about Benghazi? And, what about, should we keep going?
Yeah. Fast and Furious.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's the same thing, you know, but I mean, he didn't even know anything about it.
Unbelievable.
And held in contempt of the Senate floor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, it was just, but yeah, Trump was horrible.
Yeah, that's the narrative from the left. Trump bad, orange man. Obama good, brown man. That's essentially what they say.
Yeah.
Del, well, thanks. No, Del, appreciate the call. We got to run to a break. Real quick before I do that, the other thing that Joe said last night, which just ticked me off. If you get the virus and you're anti-mask, it's your fault. If you get the virus and you're anti-mask, it's your fault. That's what Joe said last night.
So what if you get the virus and you're pro-mask?
Well, I guess it's not your fault.
Oh, that's not your fault. Okay, I got it.
Basically what he said last night. I mean, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard anyone say. So if you get the virus and you're anti-mask, it's your fault. But if you wear a mask and get the virus, I guess it's somebody else's fault.
And by the way, wearing a mask is to keep you from spreading the virus. It doesn't
Not from getting it.
Yeah, not from getting it, which makes it even dumber.
He is so dumb, it's unbelievable. And there's people listening to him, cheering him on. That's the part that just flabbergasts me, Andy, that there's actually people out there like Lester Holt cheering this guy on. They make themselves look like a moron cheering this guy on.
They're lunatics.
And keep in mind, we're going to remind everybody, because I've done it every day so far, and I'm going to keep reminding everybody. Joe told us, specifically, last week in the debate, I am the face of the Democrat Party. I am the Democrat Party. I can't do math. I'm going to blame it on you that if you get COVID and you're anti-mask, it's your fault. Should I go down the list?
No.
He's the face of the party.
Oh, I mean, it's embarrassing, John. For him to be the face of your party, that means you don't have a party.
Thank you. Well said.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. Enchanted Kitchens is next, folks. If you want that Enchanted Kitchen, you want that place, that center, you know, that centerpiece, the gathering place of your home, and you want to make an update to it, get that done now. Get in now, because you won't get it done by Christmas if you don't. Go to klzradio.com or dial directly 303-376-7588.
The number one goal of the Enchanted Kitchens design team is to create a space that fits your daily life. Yes, you want a kitchen that looks nicer and more modern. But for you, the primary value of a redesign is the difference it will make in your everyday life. You need a functional, open space so you can have a pleasant day-to-day experience in your kitchen. Above all, you want a kitchen that works. At Enchanted Kitchens, you will partner with a professional team of designers who know how to ask the right questions to help you plan out the kitchen you and your family really need. As a Rush to Reason listener, after you've visited their experience center, the Enchanted Kitchens team will schedule a follow-up meeting in your home for free to assess your space and learn specifics, like how often do you entertain and for how many. In order to get the functional kitchen of your dreams, you need the Enchanted Kitchens design team on your side. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Affordable interest mortgage. If you want to pay for that kitchen, Kurt has a way to do that. And don't forget, about 90 cents on the dollar will come back in your house value when you sell the house down the road. That's Affordable Interest Mortgage. Give Kurt a call today, 720-895-0500.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change. All without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. We do appreciate it very much. Go ahead.
I thought Larry was on.
No, I thought
Larry
Klayman. No, we're trying to get Larry on. Charlie's doing his best to get us. He is author of It Takes a Revolution, Forget the Scandal Industry. If we can get Larry on, great. If not, we'll move on with that.
Well, I hope we do, because I really like the whole idea, because It Takes a Village by Hillary Clinton was all about the collectivist programming of kids. Right, and controlling people. And he's saying, no, it takes a revolution. overturn all of that. I just think it's very exciting.
Charlie gave me the 3 minutes, so we have to talk for like... Oh, sorry, it's third number.
Third number, okay.
Third number.
Well, and another thing he
said... Do you have three numbers, Andy?
No.
Actually,
I don't.
I do.
I don't.
That's actually scary. I don't know why, but yeah.
Well, but another thing that he really pushes and that I really like, and I hope we can get him on here, mm-hmm. is that we need to turn away from the scandal industry. Why? Because let's face it, the left uses scandals True. To get us to churn to government.
True.
To run our lives. And haven't we seen that? I mean, Kevin Polis, right? I mean, have we seen it ever more so than what's happening here in Colorado?
Can't argue that one. No, I think you're right. You're spot on. So we may have to talk about this on our own because I'm not sure Larry's going to be able to join us. And folks, just as a side note, I know we get a lot of guests booked, and these last couple of weeks here, it's been a little hit and miss with folks, and rightfully so. There's a lot going on that, you know, kind of pull these guys one direction to another, and I completely understand that. So we do our best to get them rebooked and get them back on. But in this particular case, it is the book, It Takes a Revolution, Forget the Scandal Industry. By the way, it's a great book. If we don't get Larry on today, we'll get him back on in the future because I think he's, to your point a moment ago, spot on.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. What we need is a revolution. By the way, that's what Donald Trump is.
Oh, yeah.
Donald Trump is a revolution, and that's why it's so hard getting him across the finish line. He is. It is because so many people in the middle don't want a revolution, but they don't know that they need it.
So what's your advice?
They need it.
If he was sitting with us right now.
Who?
Donald Trump.
Okay.
And you would advise him on these next roughly 4 weeks.
All right. That's
about where we're at to the election, right?
Yep.
What would you advise him? What would you tell him?
He'd win. The first thing I would do is I've already told you in terms of COVID and what he's been through, I would not say, don't downplay what you've been through and say, oh, it's no big deal. Because
no, because then that takes away from
those
somebody that maybe had a rough time with it, which some can.
Right.
It demeans them. We don't want to do that.
Yeah. On the other hand, don't say, oh my gosh, I learned a lot.
Because that makes it sound like you're stupid and you didn't know anything about it.
Right. It means that you didn't know what you were doing while leading us through this.
Correct.
I would, if I were him, and I mean this, the first thing I would do is as soon as I'm well, I would tout how great it is to be well. I would tout how great it is to be immune and that this is the most wonderful thing to be on the other side of this. And I would tell people, look, I'm not saying get COVID. Don't. By all means, I'm just saying if you do, don't fear what comes next. Yeah. It's beautiful. Yeah. I can live my life now. And I want to lead all of you into doing that. And to finalize that, I would give plasma. I would, if I were him, I would donate plasma and say, I'm doing this to help others be as healthy as I am. What do you think?
I like that. Yeah, I think that's all great advice. The other thing that I would say is be unapologetic. And what I mean by that is the left wants him to come out and apologize, for example, for not wearing a mask.
Ludicrous.
Just this, you know, just yesterday. And I would come out and say, you know what, I'm not apologizing for that. I'm in my own home. I, you know, was well aware of my surroundings, knew who was around me, so on and so forth. I would not apologize for that. He hasn't, by the way, so I think that's good. But I would not apologize for anything at this point. I wouldn't apologize for even getting it at this point.
No, neither would I.
It is what it is.
And also now going into the next debate, what would I do there? We talked about this off air. I would bring a picture.
Yes.
Of,
yes, thank you.
Seriously, they've got a picture of Joe Biden.
So real quick, explain for everybody maybe that's just tuned in and listening who the next debate moderator is going to be.
What's his name? I forget.
Charlie, remember what the next moderator's name is going to be? At any rate, he's a good friend of Joe's.
Well, he's not just a good friend of Joe's. He's a guy who has put out on the web, what did he say? No, not Trump.
Yeah, no,
never.
Trump. Yeah, never Trump.
No,
like
not
that.
Trump. Never. And no, he's circulated. Yeah.
No
never Trump.
Trump ever. I think is what he said.
I think he said no Trump ever. Okay, so here's what I would do if I were Donald Trump. I would bring two sheets of paper, one that says that quotes him and has his name and says no, not Trump, not ever, and the other one that shows a picture of him. I think it was like fishing or vacationing with Joe
together.
Biden. Okay.
C-SPAN Scully is his name.
Scully from C-SPAN.
Yeah.
And I would hold those up.
Steve Scully.
Yes. And just say, look, the first debate I went up against, the first debate was moderated by a Democrat.
In Republican clothing.
Yeah. Well, no, he's not even in Republican clothing. He's a registered Democrat. Okay. The first debate was moderated by a Democrat who clearly preferred one side over the other. Now we have this. Okay, now we can debate. And then I would say, Now the debate can commence, but I just want everybody, all of America, to see what we're starting with. Our moderator, you, sir, you
are not neutral,
have said this: no, not Trump, not ever. And you, vacation and party with my opponent and right. your longtime friends.
Right.
What are you doing there? I would put that question to him and rock his boat right from
the
start.
Now, I agree.
And then, though, for the rest of the debate, I would not be very argumentative because I want to reach those suburban women and I want to be the peaceful one.
Thank you.
And say,
speak to the camera, by the way, Mr. Trump. Smile and speak to the camera.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
If there's ever a debate coming up that he needs to be, I don't know if this is the right word, but endearing. If that's the right word, Andy, if there's an endearing
yep.
moment for Trump, it has to be this next debate, and he has to speak directly to those women.
Absolutely.
Right? And by the way, you do that by hopefully somebody is going to dress him correctly, the right time, because everything communicates to these, you know, psychologically to humans. We all have ways of communicating with one another, some ways even just unbeknownst with, in other words, we don't have to say anything to even say things to each other. It's all in how you dress, how you look, the shirt that you wear, the color of the tie, on down the line we go, correct?
I agree. Do all of it.
Get all that done correctly.
Yes. You know what I would actually do? I would compliment, get this now, Michelle Obama. Get ready. Because people love this. They want somebody who reaches across. So here's what I would say. I would say, I want, you know what, I really appreciate all your kind thoughts for me and for Melania. But just so you know, this was very light for Melania. And you all know why. She's incredibly healthy. She's younger. She's incredibly healthy. And by the way, this is something that Barack Obama and I have in common.
Mm.
We both have beautiful, incredibly healthy wives. And, you know, so many people say that, you know, Barack and I were lucky getting into these jobs, you know, that he was a first-time senator. I'd never run for anything. Let me tell you something. The luckiest thing Barack and I ever did was say I do.
And on top of that, here's the other thing I would add.
You realize how many people would love him for saying that?
I'd add one more thing.
Go ahead.
You know what, Michelle? The other day, I know you commented on the violence that has been happening in some of the riots and so on, and talking about how it's just a small faction that are actually violent, that are causing some of those issues. And guess what, Michelle? That's exactly the same thing I said about Charlottesville.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, so say both those things. Yep. You talk about, you lead in with Melania, you compliment Michelle, mm-hmm. and then you end it by saying exactly what you did.
That came up in the last debate is why I think I would say that.
Absolutely. Game, set, match. Right there, you pretty much won the debate. The rest of the night is downhill
That's what I would do.
That's what I would do.
Because you basically compliment her and say, you know what, I agree with what you just said. There is just a small faction that are causing all of these, you know, riots and things that are going on. And by the way, that's exactly what I said about Charlottesville some however many years ago it was, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Then you win.
Yep.
And what I would do.
I hope the people around him are, which by the way, there's a lot of people that are smarter than you and I around him. I hope they're thinking of these same things.
I'm sorry, but after the strategy used in the first debate, I don't think all these people around him are smarter than you and I. Sorry, whoever put together that strategy messed up.
Well, I appreciate the compliment.
I would much prefer you. You know why I would prefer the John Rush strategy? Let me tell you why. Because John Rush is a salesman. And John Rush understands you got to sell to your market.
It's true.
And they didn't sell in the market.
They
Here's one
not.
Thing. After doing those things that we just said, you know what I would do after that? I would spend most of the debate touting the wonderful things and results we've gotten in the Trump campaign and not going so much into Joe, except because they're going to emphasize foreign policy, I would get into his connections to all these nations who really want him to win because they want our money.
Yeah, and I, to your point a moment ago, I would highlight, even if the question, you know, because this is how I would do it, even if the question didn't necessarily go the direction that I needed to answer or to say what I want to say, I would still say it. In every single opportunity I would get, I would tell suburban women what I've done for them the last 3 years.
Yep.
Higher, you know, low unemployment, low taxes, more take-home pay. I mean, on down the line we go. And, you know, it's my goal to make sure that you're safe, and it's not the goal of the other side to keep you safe. And on we go. I mean, I would just continue to roll down the things that I and my administration have done.
Right. I mean, you guys carry so much on your shoulders, the last thing you need are unsafe cities.
Correct. You can't think about those things. That's my job to make sure that you're safe.
Right. That's my job. you know.
Your city's safe, I should say. Not you personally, but your city is safe.
Yeah. I think there's so much that he can do this time around. Yeah,
and by the way, as far as suburban women go, this hits home as well. Talk about the people that you've brought home from wars that we're no longer fighting.
Oh, yes.
Got to hit that. And that didn't come up the other night at all.
You
know he's going to. It needs to.
Well, this is
going to
be a foreign policy debate.
Perfect.
So, of course, he's going to do that. He's going to emphasize, here's why we do, you know, cut these down. By the way, folks, and oh, here's a big one, John. Do you guys remember ISIS? Me either.
Yeah, thank you.
They have
no
territory.
When's the last time you heard about some terrorist act?
Yeah, they still exist.
Anywhere
around the
world, for that matter.
But they have no land. They have nothing. And if I were him, I would go after that, and I would go after it hard.
Yeah, I agree.
But the one thing is, when he does it, what you're saying, go off and make sure that you hit those points. Don't do like Joe Biden and avoid the question. Answer it directly and quickly, and then pivot.
Yeah, the Democrats are famous for that. Do the same thing.
Yeah,
play their game.
But Joe really hurt himself by not answering those questions.
Oh. And by the way, just real quick, just to kind of continue on with last night's town hall that Joe Biden had that I could only watch about three quarters of and finally had to turn it off and go to bed because it just got so boring and Joe just couldn't answer a question for the life of
him. Yeah, by the way, how do we recover your brain damage from that? You going to be okay?
You all wonder why I'm maybe a little bit slow today. Now you know why.
Okay, what else happened?
I'm dead serious. I mean, I just kept watching last night and I kept thinking, you know, and Joe was doing his, you know, dancing around the stage, trying to look through the lights, trying to hear the people that were talking, which, by the way, these were all set up. You know, they all knew who was going to be speaking and who was going to have the mic and the questions that were going to be asked. And I guarantee you Joe knew those on the front side as well. He played his part very well. But let me tell you what, there was no earpiece in his ear last night getting fed the answers. You could see that last night, plain as day.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, this next debate is going to be town hall style. So what I would do is, you know, with the first thing when you hold up the two pictures,
mm-hmm.
I would connect with the audience and I would say, okay, this is what our moderator said about me. This is the relationship our moderator has with him. Now, I just want to ask you something. How would you like somebody like that to be deciding between you and someone else for a job?
Yeah, good point.
How would you like someone like that to be refereeing between you and someone else, maybe with a disagreement at your church or in your family or somewhere else? Is that how you'd want it? Do you feel that you'd be treated fairly? Connect it to them at a level that they can understand. What do you think?
No, I fully agree. The other thing that Joe said last night, which, by the way, is just so far out of whack, it's just ridiculous. Everyone with COVID should have all of their bills paid. He said that last night. He then went on to say that everybody with COVID will, from this point forward, have pre-existing conditions. So we've got to make sure we leave that in Obamacare.
No one's taking it out, Joe. The Republicans on the Hill have left it in.
And furthermore, you're really saying, follow me here.
Okay.
Maybe I should explain this when we come back. I'm going to explain my thoughts on why I think Joe is just so far out there in what he just said. Okay?
All right.
I'll explain it when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Novus Auto Glass is next, folks. They want to help you with all of your auto glass needs. Doesn't matter. See clearly today. And yes, as we drive home now, at least for me, as I leave here in about 10 minutes, man, the sun is right at you. And if you've got any kind of pits in the windshield, they are all going to show up. See clearly now. They'll work with your insurance company. RushToReason.com/Novus. That's NOVUS. RushToReason.com/Novus.
Call Novus Auto Glass as soon as you notice a chip or crack in your windshield so they can save you more money. Novus Auto Glass wants to help you save more money by repairing chips and cracks whenever possible. With their patented glass repair technology, Novus can tackle tougher cracks than the competition. In some cases, they can repair cracks up to a foot long, but you have a much better chance at getting a repair when you act fast. Glass repair is more complicated than you think. Something as simple as going through a car wash could make your little chip or crack unfixable. No matter what sort of damage you're dealing with, though, there's never any risk with a Novus repair. Should your windshield repair fail, they will credit the cost toward a replacement. Novus works with all insurance companies, and for those without windshield coverage, Novus will give you a discounted cash price. It's simple. Novus Auto Glass saves you more money. Visit RushToReason.com/Novus now and find the windshield repair expert nearest you. Novus Auto Glass, the inventors of windshield repair.
Extreme Auto Repair, don't forget, 15% off right now if you mention Rush to Reason. On top of that, they'll do a free second opinion. And then on top of that, there's a great deal coming up this month on Cooper Tires with a $75 rebate. So all of that At Extreme Auto Repair, find them at klzradio.com.
The team at Extreme Auto Repair will help you prioritize your vehicle's maintenance. You know there's a lot more to maintaining your vehicle than just getting your oil changed. But it seems like every time you go to the shop, the mechanic finds 10 things wrong, and all of them need to be fixed immediately, or there could be dire consequences. In your experience, very few auto repair shops will level with you about what's most important to fix right now and what could wait until later. The team of ASE-certified technicians at Extreme Auto Repair do their best to inform you about your vehicle's factory-recommended maintenance without using scare tactics to pressure you into spending more money. They have a reputation among their many repeat customers of only fixing what needs to be fixed, not more. At Extreme Auto Repair in Parker, you can trust their team to tell you what needs to be fixed when. Find out what your vehicle really needs at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
GIA Insurance shops the entire market for the right plan at the best price. So they must be more expensive, right? Wrong! All of that valuable market research comes as a free benefit to you from Paul and his team at GIA. Get more without paying more.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Craig from Wheat Ridge, you are next. What's going on, sir?
Hi, John. Hi, Andy.
Hey, Craig.
Andy, I disagree with your statement. I don't think at this point Trump has any chance of appealing to the suburban housewives.
Really?
I think at this point, yes, at this late in the game, with only, 28 days before the election, because these two men and what they stand for are total polar opposites, you either are for one or the other. There's no gray area. Now, I think the only time people have a problem making a decision is if two things are somewhat similar, not when they're completely different.
You know, Craig, here's why I disagree, okay? Because of the riots. I think the riots have created fertile territory among suburban women like we have not seen in probably the last 20 years. And I think ordinarily you'd be right. At this point, there's no way. But I think because of the riots, if they see somebody who is, first of all, strong with law and order, as Trump is, but then also shows the sensitivity to their feelings, I think he can reach into that group. And I think he can do it in the last month. I really do.
Well, I think his whole demeanor going into this next debate, to kind of atone for what happened in the first one,
yes,
is to cool his jets, be more calm, let Joe Biden completely answer the question, don't interrupt him, because Joe will
obliterate himself. He did the same thing. I mean, I watched him last night in the town hall that was on television last night, guys. I mean, the reality is he can talk himself into a corner to where he's not even answering his own questions anymore.
Yeah, and Craig, I totally agree. I agree with your strategy there. It's perfect. Keep going.
And then when Trump has a chance to respond, he needs to be, you know, listening very closely to how Joe Biden responds. And when Joe Biden makes a guffaw or, you know, misquotes something or is entirely wrong.
Yeah, like his 1,000 a week, you know, or his 1,000 a day last night that turns into 50,000 in a month.
Right.
That sort of a, or, you know, that I mean, you basically the math side of the fence, Craig, I think that's where Trump is sharp enough to say, wait a minute, Joe, your math doesn't add up there.
Right. And then when, again, and it kind of to your point, Andy, he needs to emphasize what he stands for and what, and he, I think Trump goes a little overboard on all his past accomplishments, but he needs to really emphasize what he has planned, because the Democrats really don't have a plan. I think he does.
Yeah, I think the biggest key, Craig, is that when he presents these things, he needs to stop saying so much, I did these things.
We have done
these things, and praise the American people and their ingenuity when government gets out of the way and helps rather than hinders.
Agree.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think on top of that, even say something along the lines of, this is what we plan on doing moving ahead. This is what I would like to do with your help moving forward. These are the things that together we can accomplish. Those are the types of vernacular he needs to use.
Because I've seen commercials where the Democrats and some of Biden's commercials are claiming that people are going to bring home $14,000 more per year. And I'm like,
what?
With higher taxation?
How
is that even
it's
possible?
It's not going to happen. They're blowing smoke.
Well, and Trump at that point, Craig, can simply say, really? Why wasn't that happening before? Okay, last year in office, we had 1.5% growth. My first year, 2.3. Second year, 2.95. How come you guys in 8 years weren't doing that?
And by the way, Richard just texted me real quick and says, Craig, he agrees with you. Just let Joe talk. He'll talk himself into the hole. And also, and we haven't talked much about this, but Richard even just noted that notice how the riots have subtly disappeared.
Yeah, because they're working with the Democrat Party,
you know,
and they were
because they know it's hurting them. That's why they've disappeared.
Right.
Yeah, but their claim is that these are white supremacists causing.
That's their claim. But and again, that would be the one thing I would also, if I was Donald Trump, I would actually highlight and say, guys, you know, it's also funny that we haven't had the riots we've had here since all of this got started a few weeks ago. These white supremacists that you're all so worried about, and by the way, I denounce, but if you're so worried about them and they're the ones that are the cause of all of this, where'd they all go?
Right, exactly.
That's what I'd say. So, Craig, good stuff. I appreciate it very much. Great comments. And Richard, thanks for texting that as well. I appreciate that. And both of them are on target. And we haven't talked about that. And he's right. The riots have just sort of slowly gone away.
Yeah. Can I say one more thing on
sure.
COVID? When Trump gets done with his COVID treatment, which, you know, he'll be cured before the next debate.
Correct.
Do not go meek and start wearing a mask and all this kind of stuff. Be bold and say, I'm cured.
This is it.
I have,
right.
Yeah, I have antibodies.
That's right.
And it's a wonderful thing.
Purify Chevrolet's next, folks. New or used cars. We'll find out tomorrow what the deals are of the week. But in the meantime, if you need a vehicle, it's purifychevrolet.com. And you can also find them at klzradio.com.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy, and after all these years and hundreds of radio spots on many stations, I still find it hard to convey how I feel about our dealership in Fort Lupton without it being just another 60 seconds of car dealer shtick and hype. Let's face it, there are only so many glowing things I could say about Purifoy Chevrolet, but at the end of the day, does the ad sell cars and trucks? I want and need your business, especially if you're in the market for a new Chevrolet or a decent used vehicle. And really, all I have to offer is a good buying experience that I know is sincerely appreciated and valued by our customers. 60 years in business has taught us many things that makes the difference in doing business. We're not perfect by any means, but we're honest about what we do and have the ethics and integrity to back it up. We have all the same factory rebates and incentives that all the other dealers have to offer, plain and simple. So do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a vehicle or need reliable service, please give us a try. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton or on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Just a few minutes left here of today's program. If you missed this first hour, don't forget you can catch it between 6 and 7 p.m. tonight. And we appreciate Charlie playing some Van Halen all day today in honor of Eddie Van Halen, who passed away at age 65. So thank you, Charlie, for doing so. And we got a great show in store for you tomorrow, Health and Wellness Wednesday. Don't forget, we'll do that. Dr. Julie will come on, talk about weight loss tomorrow. And we got a full lineup tomorrow as well. And speaking of some of these things we need to talk to suburban women about, and we've talked to her before, Andy, Olivia Perez Cubas is going to join us tomorrow. She's one of those PACs that is really trying to get conservative women elected, and they communicate well to that suburban woman you're talking about. So we'll talk to her tomorrow and find out how that's going.
Yep, I remember her. She's terrific. She's
really good.
Absolutely.
So she's
terrific.
The one that was on Rubio's campaign.
Yeah.
Did a lot of work for him. So anyways, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Enjoy your evening, folks. Again, don't forget, the first hour is up next. Myself, Andy, and Charlie. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.